Perfect is radio, perfect for Namek time, or someone else on DAB.
We've got a very special guest in the studio. It's the second time we've been back in the last month. Last time you came all the way from where?
Evesham, near Birmingham.
Just to be on Vectis Radio and then went straight back afterwards.
Yeah.
But there's an extra special reason why you're here this time. Welcome, Charlotte Wild. What are you up to?
I'm doing two shows at the Fringe Festival to promote my new book, which is called The Railway Man and Other Stories, which is all stories from the Isle of Wight Railway in the 1970s, all set to music that I've composed myself. And the shows will be the stories and then me playing the music live, and there'll be a little film in the background as well.
I don't know where we start. There's loads to talk about. Let's talk about the book first of all, because you've just given me a copy of this. Thank you. You've got to sign it, okay?
Oh, I will, yeah.
And you actually, you get the book, but you also get the audio as well.
Yeah.
Because I opened it up and stupidly thought the music would start playing and the voices would appear from somewhere.
That would be cool.
You know, after all, it's 2026, isn't it? But no, you have to get a code and you can download that and so on. And we're going to do the whole thing in a minute, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to play music. So what are we going to hear? Voice stories?
Yeah, so the audio that goes along with the book is my dad wrote the stories, most of them, and he's sadly no longer with us, but I got my family members and my dad's friends to read out each of the stories. He's written 17 stories that I've chosen for the book, and I've had family members and friends read out each story into their phones, and then they sent it to me, and I composed the music on a little four-track recorder that I have in my house, and we've made something of it, so we'll show you.
So it's family members that are doing the voiceovers. And how lovely is that? It's a good family effort, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's been involved. We're going to hear from my dad's brother, and then my mum's reading one, and then the last one I've got planned for today is by my 90-year-old great-uncle reading his story at the end. So.
How marvellous.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your dad.
My dad was called Martin Hayes, and he worked on the Isle of Wight Railway in the 1970s, and it was basically a different time around then, and they just got up to so much funny things, and you'll hear his voice in the stories. He was always telling us the stories about things that happened to him when he worked there and what they got up to, and me and my brother were like, you have to write that down, it's so good. So yeah.
How wonderful. I'll tell you what we're gonna do. Shall we play the first one?
Yeah, so the first one that I thought we'd play today is it's called the Tea Trolley, and the railway used to have a parcel service, and this might give you a little bit of an insight into why they don't have one anymore.
Right. So this is the tea trolley.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can get this thing to work.
One of the turns I had to do was to be in the parcel office at Wright St John's Road during the afternoon. This used to be so boring, as hardly anybody ever used it. I would have to sit there and just wait until 4 o'clock came round and then go home. The parcels office would have parcels in it, and occasionally a person might come in and pick up one of their deliveries. On this particular afternoon, my brother-in-law Clive came down to see me to keep me company. We were both sat there having a cup of tea when we were shocked to hear the phone ringing, and I answered it with trepidation. The voice on the other end sounded somewhat impatient and said in a posh voice, "I have been waiting for my tea trolley to arrive now for 4 weeks. Is it there yet?" I duly informed the exasperated tea trolley person that, "No, I'm very sorry, but it hasn't. I'm sure it will be here soon." and put the phone down. As I turned round to tell Clive what had just happened, I promptly tripped and fell over the tea trolley. Well, it kept us laughing for the rest of the afternoon. The worst part was, I didn't have her phone number to call her back.
How lovely was that? That was the tea trolley. I'm just thinking, are you sure it wasn't, you know, it was more than tea that they were drinking? that's your uncle is the voice?
Yeah, my uncle was reading that story, yeah.
You're playing violin?
Yeah, I'm playing violin and harp on that one.
And tell us a little bit about your violin, because it's no ordinary violin, is it?
Yeah, I've got... I'm still not sure what to call it. Me and my friend sort of invented this instrument. He's calling it the Diablo Violin d'Amour, but I'm not sure about calling it that. So it's kind of based on an old Baroque instrument called the Viola d'Amour, and kind of crossed with a Hardanger fiddle, which is a type of violin from Norway. And it's my violin's got 5 playing strings on the top and 10 sympathetics underneath. So that's why you might have been thinking it sounded like I've put loads of reverb on there and it's really echoey. But that's just what it sounds like, because you don't play the sympathetic strings, but they ring when they hear a note which is the same as them. So it kind of sounds like you're in a cathedral.
Yeah. So how does that work? I mean, I'm imagining on stage. I was imagining, my mind was working overtime. I could see you playing the violin. I could hear your uncle, and I could see two guys messing around having a cup of tea. And, honestly, it just comes. How does it work on stage?
Well, this is going to be the first time ever that I've done it. So I've practiced it a lot at home. It's going to be kind of me and the harp in front, and then I'm going to have the violin. I've got another kind of atmospheric instrument called a harmonium that I'm going to play. It sounds a bit like an accordion. It's from India. And then we're going to have the talking and the instrument that I'm not playing. So in this case, live, it would be the harp. We've made backing tracks, so they're going to come into your ears, and then I'll be playing live the violin, and then sometimes I'll swap to the harp, and yeah, it's going to be very smooth, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. And this is you're doing 2 sessions at the Fringe this weekend.
Yeah, playing at the Ventnor Arts Club for the Fringe Festival on Saturday and Sunday, both at 1:45 p.m.
How long does it last for? Are you doing? Because we've got loads of tracks here.
Yeah, there's 17 tracks. I think it's. It comes up to about 55 minutes to an hour. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you need a break after that?
Probably. I won't get one, though.
And then you're back on the Sunday as well?
Yeah.
What time Sunday?
Same time.
Same time, yeah. On Sunday as well. Brilliant.
Yeah,
okay.
Days.
Should we play another track?
Yeah. So the next one I have in mind is called Bessie, which is a story of how my family, when I was... I think this happened actually before I was born, but it's how we got our family dog. So this is my mum reading this story.
Okay, so this is mum who's currently looking after the kids.
She is, yeah.
We should give her a shout out, shall we?
Thanks, mum.
I was on duty at Sandown Station one evening in 1981. I was sat in the ticket collector's hut when a man passed by with a black puppy. I said to him, "What a lovely little dog." He then said to me, "Do you want one?" I said, "Nah, not really." He said, "I've got a few of them at home, and if I can't give them away, then they're all going to be put down." Before I could say anything else, he'd gone. only to return half an hour later with another puppy. He thrust it at me and left. So there I was, halfway through my shift with a six-week-old puppy. I caught the train back to St John's, got in the car and rushed home. When I got indoors, I said to Steph, "I've got a dog. If you don't want it, we can take it back to the RSPCA tomorrow." I then rushed off back to work and left Steph with the dog. When I got home at about 11 p.m, I was expecting Steph to be in raptures about the lovely new puppy. To my surprise, her reaction was quite the opposite. All I heard was about the little dog making a mess everywhere. It's been sick, it hasn't stopped pooing since you left for work, and so on. We decided that the next day we would take the dog to the RSPCA for it to be put down. Needless to say, we kept her until the day she died, almost 17 years later. Many things happened during that time, some of which I'll record in this book.
Wow, I like that. That's just so. There's so much going on in there. There's the music that fits. There's the story, and I just wonder what happened to change your mind. You're taking Bessie to the RSPCA to have her put down, and then you didn't. So what happened?
Well, I think that they just fell in love with her. I know she did cause quite a lot of trouble on that first day and thereafter, but they just couldn't do it. Yeah, they loved her so much.
and they're true stories as well.
Yeah.
They're not just made up stories, they're actually true stories. Your dad wrote.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then you've put music to it and just roped in the family to voice and so on. How lovely. I mean, it's a wonderful idea. I love the book and I love the music as well. It just works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really is unique. Really, really unique. So you're on at the Fringe this coming weekend. How do we get tickets? Are there any left?
There aren't many left. Last time I checked, it said limited availability. It's only a small venue. I think there's 45 tickets for each day, but I think there was less than 10 left for each day on Monday when I checked. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be a sellout by the time
that would be so cool.
Do this. I mean, it just sounds like a lovely hour to spend just relaxing and listening.
Yeah.
Listening to some lovely music, hearing some lovely stories as well. Should we play another one?
Yeah, so the last one, it's the last one on the screen. It's called The £50 Note Incident. Yeah, so this is read by my great-uncle Bob.
Great-uncle Bob, who's like, how old?
Just turned 90.
Just turned 90, so he's only a youngster.
Yeah.
He's just a youngster. So, it says it's all zeroed out. I'm a bit worried about this one because it just says zero.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit suspicious.
Yeah, so I'm clicking play and nothing's happening.
Oh, no.
Is this big moment, age 90?
Oh, no.
For some reason, it's zeroed out on the screen.
Oh, that is strange.
All the other tracks are playing.
We could play another one.
But he's going to miss his moment.
Oh. He's listening as well.
Sorry,
Uncle Bob. But maybe I'll send it to you and you can play it another day when I'm not here. I'll let him know.
So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Reads it so well.
I don't know why that is not.
That is,
All the others are showing a time, but that one's a zero.
Oh, yeah, we have had a.
It's not got any naughty words in, is it?
No.
Uncle Bob.
In that case, let's do a different one. Should we do? I told you about this one last time, the train going the wrong way incident. It's the one before the £50 note. It's 3:46, is that okay?
Okay,
not too long.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so this one is this is read by my friend Michael, who's my friend who happens to have a really nice voice, so I got him to read the stories.
Not as good as yours, Uncle Bob.
We used to be paired up in regular teams, i.e. guard and driver. My driver was Pat Evans. Pat and I were a bad influence on each other. We would do things like having a competition to see who could be the latest for work. One Sunday morning, we were supposed to sign on at 06:30 to get the train ready to leave in good time, etc. We both crashed through the mess room door at 07:00, knowing the train would be leaving at 7. What neither of us knew was what direction it should be going in. Ryde Pier Head or Shanklin? I said to Pat, "Which way are we going?" To which he replied, "I haven't got a clue." So between us, we decided, don't ask me why, that we should be heading off to Shanklin. Off we went, crossing over from the up platform to the down main line, and sped off towards Smallbrook Junction. When we got there, the signal was red, so we stopped. I jumped down to phone the signalman to ask why he had stopped us. He replied, "'Cause you're going the wrong way. You should be going to the pierhead to take passengers for the 7:30 boat.' Pat and I looked at each other as if to say, what a pair of donks. The signalman, Don Glassy, said, change ends and come back wrong road to St. John's and then get up the pier as fast as you can and try and catch the boat. We flew back to St. John's Road. It was now about 7:25 and we flew down to the Esplanade. When we got there, most of the people had given up waiting for us and had walked up the pier. We stopped very briefly to pick up the stragglers and then shot off up the pier. This story of excitement isn't yet over. What we didn't realise is that there had been a storm in the night before and the sea had flooded over the railway track up the pier. When you get salt water on steel rails, they become very slippery indeed. When Pat Evans applied the brakes, the wheels picked up and started skidding, and the train kept going at the same speed. As we got nearer the pierhead, I was getting really worried we weren't going to stop, thus crashing into the buffers. In anticipation, I opened my door, ready to bail out. Then, just as it became crucial, the wheels began to bite into the rails and the train brought under control at the last moment. We came to a stand and Pat got out of the driver's cab looking an ashen colour. He took my hand and put it on his chest to feel his heart pounding. An experience I wouldn't want to repeat.
Oh, that's funny. I'm just wondering now whether there'll be anybody that comes along and listens and think, here, hang on a minute, you make me miss my boat. I was on that boat, or I should have been. What a lovely story again. Train going the wrong way incident. And just give a shout out to the voice of that, because that was excellent.
That was my friend Michael Bowen from Evesham.
Right. Excellent. And I know it's going to be a massive success over the weekend. I just think it's so, so unique. The music, the words, the stories, it just fits. It really does. I think it's one of those things that you can go along, sit, relax and just listen. And just let it wash over you.
Yeah,
and
I say, that's the plan.
It's on for an hour. How enjoyable is it for you? Are you able to sort of enjoy it? Or are you thinking, I've got to concentrate so I can't enjoy it as much as I'd like to?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. These shows come in the middle of a large family holiday. I'm quite looking forward to just getting onto the stage. I've been working on this since 2022, so like, I can't believe how far the project has come, and I'm really excited about doing it. I am, obviously, there's a bit of an anticipation there because I've never done it before, but... Yeah.
But your family are coming down. Are they all coming down?
Yeah, lots of them are. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they've all descended onto the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And this is at the Ventnor Fringe. It's going on all of this week and definitely all of the weekend as well.
Yeah.
So excited.
Yeah.
Good. Good. And then I suppose you breathe a big sigh of relief when it's finished.
Yeah.
Is it going to be videoed?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. No.
Right.
I do hope to do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. And then, yeah, I'd like to take it on a little tour. Or it's been quite popular. We've almost sold out, which is a big surprise for me. I can't believe it. So... yeah.
Well, it's unique, and we should point out that you used to live on the island. You moved away,
yeah.
And then you're still an islander at heart.
We come here a lot, yeah, yeah. I lived here till I was five, and then my gran lived here until 2021. So we used to come over all the time to see her, and I've started this project as a way of sort of connecting with my own past and. Writing, I wanted the music to be unique to suit the unique instrument, so I thought about my dad's stories and thought, oh, I wonder what would happen if I tried to set music to that. And
well, it works.
Oh,
it's
I'm
unique.
Glad.
It's lovely. It's really a lovely thing to be able to do for you, for the family, but also for us as listeners, as people that are going to be in the audience. They will love it. They will absolutely love it.
Aww.
What's next then? Have you got another project up your sleeve?
I do. I think, yeah. I'm going to try.
You're going to tell me. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I've got something. It's a poetry project. It's just one poem. It's going to be... oh, I don't know. Should I tell him? It's a poetry project, and it's going to be a poem with a little QR code to them, because I've run out of money now. I'm trying to... the next project is going to be free to produce. You know, books are quite expensive. So, yeah, not doing that next. But, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more low-key. It's going to be some more original music to go along with a poem that I've written. Yeah.
You'll stay in touch then.
I will, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, it's a joy to see you again. It really is.
Oh,
I know it's going to be a spectacular hit over the weekend. Enjoy it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And again, sorry to Uncle Bob.
I know. I'll send you the track and maybe you could pop it on another day if you've got a little...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's only a minute and a half long.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Only little.
Love to. There's a couple on there that are zero.
I know. We need to look into this.
you need to get your technical operator on that, I'm sure.
Oh, dear.
Hope it goes well.
Thank you very much.